for a word podcast is brought to you by Naked City Brewery.
Well, hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 183 in what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series. I am your host, Aaron Roden, and this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Yes, indeed, folks. Yes, indeed. We have got a great show planned for you this week. Super awesome, talented guy by the name of Ben Fisher will be joining us here in the backyard momentarily. Singer-songwriter from originally from Atlanta, Georgia, moved up here to Seattle, Washington, and did a lot of busking for many years. Busking. You know what busking is, right? Playing out on the street here in Seattle. And yeah, just a fantastic musician. He sent me this album. His new album, Charleston, which was just finished, funded by a Kickstarter campaign, which we'll talk about here in a little bit. And it is very, very good. This guy is a monumental storyteller with his music, and I can't wait for you guys to hear it. We'll be featuring, some music from there. And he's going to play some music for us. So, tune in. Stay tuned. Stay with... it snowed last night here in Seattle. Awesome. I love it when it snows in the city. Everything just kind of shuts down. But there are so many people, guys, and I witnessed so many people outside of our house today and last night driving like idiots, driving like, you know, either way too confident or not confident enough. If you're not confident to drive in the snow, then don't drive, right? I mean, you had ample time to get home. If it starts snowing buttloads and is sticking to the ground, which is what happened here in Seattle, then get home as soon as possible. Or even just, like, leave your car somewhere and take the frickin' bus, because the snow here in the Pacific Northwest is not going to stick around for very long. So do that, will you please? And if you're overconfident, maybe you should not be that way. Because, you know what, you are an a-hole, and your driving leads to other accidents, which is what we witnessed on our drive home last night. Oh, my God. Just a ton of douchebaggery, guys. Ton of douchebaggery going on in the city when it snows. But I love the snow. I sat in my house last night, turned off all the lights with my lovely wife, Mairead. And we just sat in front of this huge picture window that we have, and we just watched the snowfall for a little while. And it was perfect. It was fantastic. I love it. I love how it lights up everything, right? You don't even need a flashlight in the middle of the night. It's awesome. So yeah, that's been going on. It's freezing cold though. We've got the heater on in the backyard studio. So if you hear a low hum throughout the show, that's what's going on. Ben Fisher going to be joining us here shortly. We'll be getting to that soon. Let's see. I wanted to clarify something that I said in last week's episode. I was a little drunk after the Super Bowl, and I don't think I really made my point very well. I got a couple emails from people saying, how could you, still confused about how you can lump Philip Seymour Hoffman and Woody Allen into the same category. Now, what I was trying to say is that, well, I don't even know why I brought up the Woody Allen thing. Maybe it was just in my head. You know, they were both celebrities. I don't know why I tried to tie those two incidents together, the death of Philip Seymour Hoffman and, you know, the allegations surrounding Woody Allen coming back up. But what I would like to say is that I have known a lot of people. A lot of people are sticking up for Philip Seymour Hoffman right now and saying, you know, he was such a fantastic artist, which he was. He was an amazing actor. He was one of my all-time favorite actors. And a lot of people are saying, oh, you know, how sad is it that he had to go so soon? I would love to say that same thing, but I have known junkies. I had some pretty serious drug problems when I was younger, and I was surrounded by this stuff. I was surrounded by junkies. I was surrounded by meth addicts. I don't, you know, coming at it from a different perspective, you know, he had a disease, yes. Addiction is a disease. But I don't know if we should be venerating the guy or, you know, feeling sorry for him. I think we should be feeling sorry for his family. I think we should be feeling sorry for his kids who he was supposed to be picking up. That's how they found him dead, by the way. He was supposed to pick up his three young kids, and he didn't show up, and they thought that was odd, so they went to his house and tried to, you know, summon him at the door, and he didn't answer, and so they got worried, and they called the police, and the police found him with a needle in his arm, overdosed on heroin. I knew guys that were on heroin. I know people that are on heroin in my family right now, and they are assholes, and they are... they are self-centered, and you know, they're lazy. And I think, I'm sick of it. I went through it. Of course, it's a hard thing. It's a very, very hard thing to kick. As are many, drugs. God darn it. I don't know how much I want to go into this, but you know what? Fuck Philip Seymour Hoffman. Seriously. If he can't stay clean and he's got a family, man, that's a very self-centered thing to do. That's a very self-centered thing to do. And trust me, I'm going to get a bunch of hate mail on this. I'm going to get a lot of you that are not going to agree with me. But until you know a heroin addict or see what it does to your family, you know, I'm coming at it from a different spot, and it just makes me really mad that there's so many people out there that are so quick to say, oh, he was such a fantastic artist. It's so sad that, you know, what a poor, poor guy he is that he had to struggle with this addiction. And yes, I mean, that it is. It's a hard, hard thing to do, but there are ways to keep away from it, right? There are ways to keep away from it. You go to NA meetings. You go to AA meetings if you're an alcoholic. You talk to people about it. You stay sober, right? You keep your distance. I have to do that to a certain extent with certain things. He could have done it too. He could have done it too. He had three kids. He had three kids and a beautiful partner. And he could have done it. He was strong. He had, he had the means to do it. Same thing goes for my family members who are struggling with it right now, who also have families and are dropping the ball on that shit. Like, God, I can't tell you how much, you know, after a little while of dealing with that shit, you can't deal with it anymore, right? At some point, you just got to throw up your hands and go, okay, you know, you're going to do what you're going to do, and you're probably going to die doing it. But I'm not gonna support you anymore. I'm not gonna deal with you anymore. And I don't know if he was to that point. Maybe it was just some bad shit that he had. Who knows? Who knows, guys? But yeah. Nonetheless, addiction is a really awful thing, especially with a drug like that. And my heart goes out to his family, but my heart does not go out to him. Okay, that's what I was gonna try to say. So let's do this, shall we? Wow, downer. Hey, guys. We are having we're switching gears right now. we are doing our first ever live Air Raid podcast at our wonderful sponsor's place called Naked City Brewery and Tap House. They're on Greenwood Avenue, 8564 Greenwood Avenue North here in Seattle, Washington. If you are in Seattle or even just, you're in Washington, come and check it out, man. There's not going to be very many tickets, but tickets are on sale now. You can find them at Brown Paper Tickets. We'll also put a link up at the website and on the blog, and shoot it out on Facebook and all that stuff. We'll probably have a Facebook invite thing or, event thing that will start here. So keep up with that. There's only 70 tickets to this thing. It's going to be in what's called the screening room at Naked City Brewery. They are nice enough to give this place to us. And it's going to be $4. Like I said last week, it's going to be $4. Not going to be free anymore. We had some stuff we needed to pay for with the show, so we got to charge a little bit of money for it. Comedian Derek Sheen going to be there doing some stand-up. And the Young Evils, Mackenzie and Troy. Troy of KEXP will be there playing some tunes for us and chatting it up. And then, special, secret, double whammy special guest who has been on this show a few times is going to be back performing for us and chatting it up as well. You love them. I get a lot of emails every time they are on the show. It's going to be so much fun. I'm so excited. I met with Naked City the other day, and everything's going to be awesome. There's going to be some visual components to the show, so I hope you guys can make it. We're also going to record it, so if you're not here in Seattle, you can't make the show, don't worry about it. You'll be able to hear it. You just won't be able to see it, guys. I'm sorry. But like I said, tickets are going to go fast. Only $4 to see some grade A entertainment here in the city. I mean, you can't go to a Young Evil show for less than like $13, $14, guys. $4. Come on. We're doing you a favor here at Air Raid. It's going to be a fantastic show. March 29th, Saturday, March 29th, 9 p.m., Air Raid Live from Naked City Brewery and Tap House there on Greenwood Avenue. Buy your tickets. Tickets go on sale Monday. Yeah, March 29th. Saturday. Hope you guys can make it. All right, let's do this, shall we? Take our first musical break. We're featuring music today by Ben Fisher off of his new album, Charleston. And this is the title track of said album, Charleston. And we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid podcast for your ears. Stay tuned, everybody.
My first son was born here, and he doesn't want to leave. But this house is full of failure and empty memories. So pack up, kid, it's time to go. There's so much you should see. If you compare it to Alaska, Charleston is ancient. If you compare it to Los Angeles, Charleston is bad. If you compare it to your mother, don't do that. Charleston's an angel. And over the din of comparison, Charleston's always been there. I've spent more than twice my life here. As time slides along so slow, and I know you wish your mama would come along with us. But it's time to go, it's time to go. If you compare it to Alaska, Charleston is ancient. If you compare it to Los Angeles, Charleston is bad. If you compare it to your mother, don't do that. Charleston's an angel. But over the din of comparison, Charleston's always been there. someone asks us where we're from, we'll always know the answer. 'Cause home is something you don't just erase. But I've been feeling kinda rough, and they say it might be cancer. But I'm not going until I leave this place. You compare it to Alaska, Charleston is ancient. You compare it to Los Angeles, Charleston is bad. If you compare it to your mother, don't do it. Charleston's an angel. But over the din of comparisons, Charleston's always been bad.
I started in November, maybe?
Yeah.
The
and
bus.
You didn't own your own car at that point?
I have never owned a car.
Really?
Yeah.
So how does that explain to me how it works? Because like...
It works well is how
yeah?
it works. I'm their biggest proponent. It's 41 cents a minute, although maybe they
okay,
should...
Okay, so you don't pay for gas.
No, you don't.
You just pay by the minute.
You don't pay for gas, although they have a gas card, and if you fill up the car, if it's below 25% in the tank,
uh-huh.
you get free minutes.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's an incentive.
The scary thing about it is that there was like a, they have a, you know, the cars that have the GPS, the map thing.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
And you can see, you know, what radio station you're listening to on the screen or whatever. And I was driving somewhere, and I was driving up a huge hill in my neighborhood, and this blinky red exclamation point came on, and it said, alter your driving style, or your membership will be revoked.
What?
They didn't, they thought I was driving too fast or erratically or something.
Really?
So
they're like actively tracking you.
Big brother.
Whoa.
Big brother car to go.
That's crazy.
It was
weird.
That's
kind of crazy.
Yeah.
You know what that reminds me of? There used to be this show. I don't know how old you are, but there used to be this show called Sliders on television. Do you remember
that one?
Oh, my God. Okay. So there's this episode. It was like this kid played by Jerry O'Connell. I don't know how it happened, but they found this like interdimensional like. Pathway, right?
Okay.
And so they would just, every episode was them going to a different dimension. Still on Earth, but it was like something was different in each episode, right?
Okay.
And one of the episodes had to do with everybody sharing everything. And it was like, kind of like like if communism had
right.
really, really worked. Like, you know, things. So everybody had these like Prius looking cars. I remember they looked like what Priuses look like now.
Yeah.
But this was back in like 1990 or 89 or something like that. And so you would just leave the car. And this was just the weird thing that I remember about that episode was you just get out of the car and somebody else would just come and take it. And they were all white. Everything was, you know, everything was the shade of white. And, there was no soul in anything.
It's so utopian.
Yeah.
And beautiful.
Right?
Yeah.
I think
the Cartago model.
I think that's what Cartago is reaching for, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm glad to hear that it works. Because you see those, like here in Seattle, you see those cars like all over the place.
Well, and I took it on the highway for the first time today.
Yeah.
In the snow.
In the snow.
So.
Oh, my God. Dude, I mean, it was coming down pretty good last night.
It was beautiful.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was awesome. I love it when
it's a pain in the ass.
And now it's just gross
already.
Yeah, it's supposed to rain tonight, too.
Oh, good.
So say goodbye.
It'll wash it away, yeah.
Right, right. Ben Fisher joining me in the backyard. Thank you, sir, for coming down.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, he's got this new album out. It's called Charleston. That was funded by Kickstarter, correct?
Correct.
Yeah? I remember seeing that campaign start up.
Yeah. It was a really amazing thing to raise a little over $9,000.
Wow.
From 200 some odd people.
So you met the goal.
Cool. I met the goal.
You met the goal.
I exceeded the goal.
That's pretty amazing.
It is.
Like,
it is.
It seems like a lot of people, especially here in the city. I mean, this is, you know, it's where we live. So this
right.
is what we see. But it seems like a lot of people in Seattle, a lot of bands in Seattle have been trying to do Kickstarter campaigns.
And I haven't seen one fail, which is the really amazing thing.
Well, that's
thing.
What I was going to say next,
yeah.
is that I have, you know, it's rare to see one actually not make it.
Right.
You know? there's a lot of love in this city.
There certainly is.
For musicians. I mean, was there any worry when you started this Kickstarter campaign that it wouldn't go through?
Oh, yeah. There was worry and there were naysayers.
Oh, really? Like yeah. Who? Like people you know that are just like,
friends
don't
of mine.
Do it, man.
Friends of mine were not. They saw that number and they said, come on, $9,000 is a lot of money.
Uh-huh.
But it was, and I timed it poorly too, because the 2 days before it ended, I was playing two shows in Long Beach, Washington, which is beautiful. You know, it's four 4 hours from here, right on the coast.
Totally.
It's gorgeous. But the internet was really spotty. And so I wasn't able to, you know, push the Kickstarter or anything.
Right, right.
While I was down there. And so I had a bunch of friends up here who were able to help me out. And
well, good.
It was very nice.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you.
About that. I mean, that's pretty cool. So that funded the whole recording process. Like, I mean, one question I have, though, is like, you know, as we continue to advance technologically, I mean, it gets a lot easier to do this type of recording at home, right?
Yeah.
Did you pay for, like, studio time, professional studio time?
Oh, yeah. I am not nearly proficient enough to do something like this.
You did tell me before we started that you are awful with computers.
Really bad.
So that maybe,
really bad.
Maybe it doesn't get
and bad with audio stuff, too.
Really?
You know, I have friends who are super into it and are interested in the whole recording process, and it flies way over my head.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
I brought in people who knew what they were doing
to
help me
out.
Yeah.
And you had John Roderick was with you on those tracks as well, right?
He was nice enough to come in and do some singing.
Some vocals.
Yeah.
Do you know John personally?
I've met him a few times, and I've seen him play, and he's seen me play. And he's one of my favorite musicians in this city.
He's a good dude.
He's
too.
Something else. Yeah. He's a funny guy.
He is very funny.
He's a very funny guy.
And he's very smart. And
Increasingly,
God dang it! What's the word I was about to say it, and then I lost it. He intimidates me a lot.
Intellectually?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, cause he came on this show. We had him and David Boz on.
Right.
On one episode, it was a while back, and I was super, like, he had been on the show before, so when he came over and before we started talking, we were just chatting, you know, it was fine, everything was fine, but then we started recording the conversation, and at one point, he asked me how old I was on air, and I was like, oh, I'm 30, I think it was maybe 2 years ago, so I was like, I'm 31, he's like, oh, that explains the immature vocabulary or something like that. And I was like, are you fucking kidding? I was like, ah, oh, God damn it. Damn it.
You need to keep a thesaurus by your side.
I know,
at all
I know.
Times.
We can't be all learned as you, sir. Yeah, yeah. So how long did it take you to finish the whole album here?
We tracked it in 6 days.
Uh-huh.
And then we mixed it in 2.
Wow.
And we mastered it in 1.
Wow, dude.
Yeah.
And that took all the budget?
Yes, it took all the budget.
I'm sure you had to pay, like, your other bandmates and things like that, right?
I stiffed them. No, I'm just kidding. I paid them, and, you know, I paid for all that stuff. And then we made some CDs, and we made some LPs, and, yeah.
Oh, you got records, too.
Yeah. Very vinyl nerd of me.
Yeah, yeah.
But
totally.
It didn't hit me that I was done, and, you know, this was a real thing until I saw my face on a 12-inch...
Yeah.
Record, you know, that's when
and
it really
I
sunk
imagine
in.
Imagine that this transfers pretty well to
it sounds
vinyl.
Pretty good, if I do say so myself.
I would imagine
spinning
so.
It, yeah,
yeah. I want to hear that. I still have, like, I have a whole bunch of records, and bands bring me their records sometimes, you know, and I'm super stoked
right.
about it. But I still don't have a record player, and so every time I feel bad because I'm like, I got these, you know, I got all these old records up there
on
the shelf.
You'll have to sneak into, like, Easy Street and use their demo one just with a stack of LPs under your arm and go in there and use their record player.
I'm just going to get one of those little Crosley ones. Like, you know, they're making those things again.
Yeah.
I'm just going to drop $40 and get one of those.
Yeah, they're cheap now.
Yeah.
You can
pick
up one of the portable ones for very cheap.
Exactly. Exactly. Sounds like a good idea.
Yeah.
So where did... Because I think you first came on to my radar, I think, when you were starting the Kickstarter campaign.
Okay.
And I watched your little video, right? And I don't know if it said something in there, or maybe I read something about you or saw some sort of news interview thing with you But you were doing a lot of street busking, right?
Mm-hmm.
To start out.
Right.
Where how did that all start? What was the catalyst?
That's the catalyst of that. I moved up here from Atlanta.
Okay.
7 years ago now.
Is that where you were born and raised?
I was born in Chicago.
Oh, okay.
And lived there for less than a year, and then my parents moved to Atlanta.
Yeah.
Spent 14 years there. And then I came up here.
Yeah.
And I don't know where it started.
So wait, did you move up here with your parents?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
The whole family came
gotcha.
Up here. Middle of high school.
I was going to say, like, whoa, you ran away at 15?
At 14.
Yeah. Yeah.
Joined the circus. but I don't know where it started. I think my earliest memory of it was my parents live over on the east side in Redmond.
Oh, okay.
And so... But they spend a lot of time in Seattle, and they want to move to Seattle soon.
Uh-huh.
And they're waiting till my sister finishes high school to get over here.
Oh, but cool.
My dad and I used to go to the Ballard Farmers Market, and he would shop, and I would busk. So he would shop for an hour, and I would busk for an hour, and then
really?
Meet back up and go back home.
And then he would take your money and,
yeah,
and
exactly.
pay for the organic eggs,
yeah.
the organic broccoli and things like that. Yeah.
But I don't know why, when it became... when the idea sort of planted itself in my head. I don't know when
well,
I realized.
How old were you when you were going to...
14.
14 years old.
Yeah. And I remember...
Were your parents musical? Like, did they play a lot of music?
Well, I started early. I started piano at a really early age.
Uh-huh.
And my dad loves good music, but
yeah.
never played. And my mom played guitar and clarinet.
Oh, cool.
But I don't know why I started doing it. I just remember that I did. One day I wasn't busking, and the next day I was.
Right, right.
But I remember going down, you have to get a license to play at Pike Place.
Yes.
And so before, you have to be 15 to go down there by yourself. And before you're 15, you have to go with a parent. You have to have like a guardian accompanying you.
Right.
Because they don't want to be liable if you get, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever happens to you.
Understandable.
Yeah. So for the first couple months, my mom would have to be like within the general vicinity of where I was playing when I was busking. It was weird. Very strange.
Oh, I mean, was that a little nerve-wracking, though? Like, I imagine, like, at the age of, like, 14, I was playing guitar at the age of 14. I think a lot of people...
Sure.
That's when a lot of people started. But, like, I just remember, like, being so incredibly nervous playing in front of people. Like, I mean, and just to think about, like, going down on a street corner and starting to just jam out on some tunes, like, that would be...
Yeah.
Really nerve-wracking for me, especially as a teenager.
Yeah. I played a lot I did a lot of concerts on the recitals is what they were called. That's
okay,
what
yeah, yeah.
On the piano when I was little, and so I kind of got used to that. We used to do recitals in retirement homes because, you know, That's what you do. And then there was a competition where... that I entered when I was like eight, I think. And I opened for Bruce Hornsby in Atlanta.
What?
At Atlanta Symphony Hall. I played some
when
classical
you were
music. Yeah.
No yeah. shit.
So I played for people from the get-go. And I guess, in theory, it should be less nerve-wracking to play on the street instead of, you know, in a venue or something.
Right, because it is a little bit more like anonymous, right? Like people
yeah.
are just kind of anonymously just walking by.
Yeah, and, you know, I didn't get harassed or anything or thrown tomatoes
I would
at.
Hope not, man. That would be like the worst, especially
the
like a young kid.
Yeah, some
like
poor
music.
14-year-old.
Yeah.
One of my favorite stories was I played at Pike Place for a few summers, and there was a guy from China who played the... I don't even know what that thing is called. It's like the Chinese violin that you hold in between your legs.
Yeah, yeah. Three
and
strings
yeah.
or something like that, or even one string sometimes, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
And he would be there every day, and he didn't speak a word of English. But he and I kind of got to know each other through some other, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't speak Chinese. He didn't speak English, but we became pals.
Uh-huh.
So they have a very strict, when you have to stay, what's the word I'm looking for? Policy as far as waiting in line for busking spots at Pike Place.
Okay.
And
so is there like only certain spots you can be in?
Yeah. They have painted red music notes where you can be.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
So some guy tried to cut me in line and this Chinese violin player came out of nowhere and shoot him away and was super intimidating and yelling at him in Mandarin. And this guy, you know, left and I got to do my thing and He was like my little guardian angel.
Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I bet you met some pretty strange characters down there, too.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's like Pike Place Market for people that are not here in the in Seattle or have just like visited down there once or twice. Like, there is kind of a seedier element that
sure.
is down there a lot of the time as well. Like, did you see a lot of like crazy stuff happen down there? I would imagine that you've seen some pretty interesting things.
There were at least two fights
uh-huh.
that I saw, and there were a couple of arrests, and I think that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, like street kids, like just like watching packs of street kids like pickpocket people.
I didn't know. It was not very Oliver Twisty. Or I may have missed it.
Wouldn't that be great if
it was?
I was
oblivious to it, yeah.
It's just like a bunch of a gaggle of kids come up
from Artful
the
Dodger.
From the from the Seattle underground.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. That would be pretty sweet. You should write a song about that.
There you go.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
coming next.
Yeah, totally. So how long did you do the busking then?
A long time.
Yeah?
It was 6 years, I think. And
wow.
I haven't been out for a long time.
Uh-huh.
For a variety of reasons, I got a job, and
yeah.
I figured from a music business standpoint, why would anybody pay to see me at a show when there's a 50% chance they could walk down
they
the street
walk down
and
the
see
street
me playing?
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was breaking
yeah.
a lot of strings, too, and the string expenditures were racking up. My record was a half dozen in a day.
Whoa.
You have to play hard.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, for people to hear it.
Right.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, that's true.
And over this bellowy voice, you got to mm-hmm. play hard, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. For sure. So, I mean, it sounds like as far as you can remember, you've always been playing music.
Mm-hmm.
It's never been really a question. Was it something that your parents pushed you into? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
they
it was.
They pushed me hard with all four of their hands.
Really?
Yeah. They wanted to... I played classical piano happily for maybe a few years, and then unhappily for a lot more years.
Uh-huh.
And I remember the piano was in the room right next to the kitchen in my house.
Uh-huh.
And when my mom was, you know, not looking, I would sneak into the kitchen and knock down the minutes on the timer that I was supposed to be practicing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then my piano teacher fired me, and...
Why?
Because I wasn't practicing and I was wasting his time and wasting uh-huh. my time. And he was a great guy, and he is to thank for, I think, my music, you know, to this very day, because knowing piano kind of lays out, it helped me with music theory, and
oh,
it gave
sure.
me a
yeah.
wonderful
yeah.
base,
totally.
Base
totally.
To build off of. But he fired me.
Mm-hmm.
and then that was about it with piano. I still play a lot, but no longer classical stuff, and I'm no longer forced to play.
Right.
So,
right.
And I think I maintain to this day that if I were still playing classical piano, I would not have picked up the guitar, and I would not have been doing music like this, because I would have burnt out.
Right. So. You would have just hated it.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was there any? I mean, it sounds like your parents were definitely wanting you to go a certain path.
Yeah,
life,
I
then,
think
right?
they just wanted me... I don't think they wanted me to be a...
Or they just wanted you involved in something?
Right,
because
okay. I was not a sporty kid.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They didn't want me to be a classical piano prodigy, but they thought that it was important for me to do that.
Exactly.
But yeah. I think they were equally happy when I picked up the guitar.
Mm-hmm.
They are quite supportive.
Well, yeah. That's good, man.
Oh, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's good that you didn't burn out on music altogether, too, then.
It certainly is.
Yeah.
I'm happy about that.
Yeah. Did you ever go to like college for music or anything like that?
No, I was about to, and until I flew out to Berklee College of Music in Boston was where I wanted to go.
Oh, really?
And I flew out there and I did an audition and everything, and it was, you know, entirely my fault that I did not realize that there was going to be sight reading on this thing, on this audition,
and I never
learned how to read music.
Oh.
Never in my life. I was playing these classical piano pieces, but I did it all by ear. And
oh,
so never
wow.
learned how to read music, and the rest of the audition went great. I was, you know, playing guitar and playing piano and singing for these people, and then they pulled out some sheet music for me to read.
Yeah.
And there came a very awkward pause.
Oh, shit.
And needless to say, I was denied entry to Berklee College of Music, and I went to the University of Washington instead.
But you major in music there?
No, I majored in Arabic.
Okay, wow.
Yeah.
totally different.
Yep.
I can imagine, though, reading Arabic is almost like reading sheet music, right?
I would say so.
It kind of looks similar.
It makes no sense to a lot of people.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Wow, Arabic.
Yes.
Why?
Oh, I wish I could tell you. You know...
Please don't tell me this was one of those situations where it's like you're getting down to the wire and you're like, you have to pick a major. And you're like, well,
it's general studies or Arabic.
Arabic.
I don't know. You know, logic dictates that you should be kind of repulsed by that part of the world, given all of the stuff that's going on there, the abhorrent things.
Yeah, people say that, but no.
But I'm drawn to it. I am so interested and infatuated with that part of the world.
Right.
And my mom lived in Egypt for a while, and... Her parents and my mom have great stories about it there, and my dad's side of the family is all Jewish, and so I've always been interested in that neck of the woods, and the Arabic thing was an easy way to get my foot in the door of the Middle East. So, yeah.
Have you ever gone over there?
I just got back in January from Israel and Palestine and Jordan.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was amazing.
How long of a trip was that?
2 weeks.
2 weeks?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was nuts.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous. Yeah. Absolutely gorgeous.
Man.
Yeah.
I had a friend of mine went to Jerusalem and was over there, I believe, after the whole Rachel Corrie incident.
Oh, right.
He was friends with her. He's actually the guy that built our website. And he went over there and was painting peace murals on the wall. And then I believe... The story goes he was painting a peace mural and then got shot in the butt with a rubber bullet.
Yep. And those rubber bullets are not soft.
They are
often metal coated with rubber.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not, I mean, where you were, was it calm?
We visited a friend of mine who's living in a refugee camp in Bethlehem.
Oh, wow.
So that was probably the most... the day, 24 hours after we went, the IDF raided the camp and kids were shot with rubber bullets and tear gas and all
shit.
That stuff.
Okay, so you were kind of in there.
Things change on a day-to-day basis.
Wow, yeah. So when you say refugee camp, like, I'm picturing, like, tents?
It was founded in 1949.
Okay, so it's there's buildings.
Right, it started off as tents. Now they're buildings and they have been, because they're, you know, enclosed in a particular space, they can't build out, so they have to build up, and so they're 3- and 4-story buildings now instead of tents.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's insane.
It is.
And so are there markets in there and everything where people can do their shopping, or do they actually,
they go, I think, outside of the camp
out, right?
Yeah, to do some shopping. It's all living quarters, and you know, there's a UN school in there and some other stuff. And it's the, you know, the ridiculous part is that it's located right next to the 4-star Intercontinental Hotel in Bethlehem.
Oh, jeez.
So, yeah, there's that.
Yeah. So, wow, man, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So was that like an after school trip that you took?
No, I went with the whole family.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, my mom and dad, my brother and sister, we all went over there.
Wow.
Yeah. It was neat.
That's pretty cool, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. So what can you do with a... I'm sure you hear this question all the time. What can you do with a major in Arabic?
Well, in my experience, you can work at a restaurant. I would really love to do something with it while, you know, for a day job while I'm working on this music thing.
Uh-huh.
I realized a little late in the game that working for the State Department or something would require me moving to the East Coast, which I don't want to do.
Yeah.
No urge to go over there.
Uh-huh.
But so I'm, you know, I will, once every few weeks, I will look online to see if there's anything requiring, you know, expertise in the Middle East or in Arabic, and there never is. So,
right.
So.
It's got to be a pretty tough, I don't know. I mean, you're either working for the military.
Right.
Like these days, if you have a specialty in Arabic or something, that's what it seems like to me.
Yeah. I would love to do something with it. I would love to do something news related or help people in some way, shape, or form. But
there you go.
Yeah.
Al Jazeera America, man.
Exactly. Yeah. They're down in San Fran, though.
I didn't even think they were on the West Coast.
Yeah, I think they're New York, D.C., and San Fran.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Which is close, but not, I'm going no further than like Tacoma. I want to stay here.
It's a beautiful part of the world.
I love it. I hated it at first.
Why?
I hated it. Because I moved in the middle of high school.
Bad time to move.
You're just getting started, you know, in high school, and you're starting to fit in and make friends and figure out what you're going to do. And then you get uprooted.
Yeah, yeah.
And, yeah.
Were you able to reinvent yourself? Like, is that something that you did when you moved at the age of 14?
I reinvented myself in middle school. I went by the name Zeb for a year.
Shut up.
Yeah, I went by Zeb. And my mom...
You kind of do look like a Zeb.
Well, thanks. I've never heard that.
Yeah, yeah.
My mom went in for a parent-teacher conference with my English teacher, who was this, you know, 70-year-old woman from South Georgia. And my mom said, "Hello, I'm Ben Fisher's mother. I'm here for his parent-teacher conference." And Miss Cunningham said, "I don't have a Ben Fisher. I have a Zeb Fisher." And so my mom...
So your parents didn't even know that you were going
by
Zeb.
No idea. And then she blew my cover. So.
That's awesome.
So I was back to Ben by the time I moved out here. Yeah.
Oh, I can't... Yeah, I can't imagine that. Like, I stayed... My whole family stayed in the same small town until I left for college.
Okay.
Like, well, they still live over there, in fact. But
where is that?
Indianola.
Okay.
You know where Indianola is?
Rings a bell.
Kingston. It's like 4 miles south of Kingston.
Okay.
Yeah. On the Kitsap Peninsula, across the water from Seattle, for those who are doing your homework. But I never moved out of that town. Like, we moved around the town in different houses in that town, but never moved away. And it was really, like, it was very strange coming to a different town after that.
Right.
Like, it was a scary experience. Even at the age of, like, 18 or 19, you know, I was just, like, I was not into it at all.
I can see that.
You know? Because even Ellensburg compared to, like, my hometown of Indianola was huge.
Huge, yeah.
It was huge. Yeah, so that was a really strange experience. I always am curious about other people's, like, you know, how they do it.
Yeah,
you know,
mine was done with a lot of screaming and complaining and locking myself in the room.
Yeah. Oh man.
Yeah.
That's hard, man. That's hard.
I got over it though. Yeah. I'm as happy as a clam now.
Yeah.
So.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. You're digging the cold weather.
Yeah, as much as a Georgia boy can. Yeah.
Do you still have family that live in the South?
I've never had family in the South. My family's
really?
All in the Midwest.
Oh,
My dad, my mom and dad moved down there. My dad got a job with Delta, and so he traveled a lot.
Oh, okay.
But we
Is
never
that
had
what
family.
Brought you guys up here, too? Like,
yeah, he's working with T-Mobile now.
Oh, gotcha.
T-Mobile, yeah.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. Well, let's do this, Ben. Let's take a musical break. You're going to be gracing us with some acoustic versions of your songs here.
You got
off
it.
Of the album Charleston. So let's get that set up here.
Out looking, filled up with doubt, so you set all your pages on fire. And if Papa hadn't listened to the traveling man, he could have closed up shop and retired. But he's pushing 80. He works 6 days a week. My old man's never looked so tired. Remember that boy with his head in the the clouds when her head would rest on his shoulder. When she skipped away, not a tear in her eye, it left him feeling 15 years older. There's a time for dreaming, there's a time for doubt. Always know which way you're leaning. There's a time for dreaming, there's a time for doubt. Time and love don't wear me out. Time and love don't wear me out. Time and love don't wear me out.
Woo! That was fantastic.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's always nice to just have one person clapping for you.
Sure.
Too, right?
Sure. I've had way too many shows like that.
So you're familiar with it then?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
That's fantastic, man. You know, one thing I've been hearing as I'm listening to your songs on this new album. Album is called Charleston, by the way. You can go to Ben's, Bandcamp site and purchase the album digitally or on vinyl and disc too at benfisher.bandcamp.com. So go and do that. It's a fantastic album. You have, like, a very, your vocals are fantastic.
Thank you.
I love the way you tell a story. Are you drawing a lot from personal experience, or is this more of like a story that you're writing?
Little of both.
Yeah.
And sometimes it'll be a little of both in one song, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I like keeping people on their toes so they don't know if it's about me or someone else.
Yeah.
And I think most good songwriting is like that.
Yeah. And this one's unique, too, because the vocals are very upfront.
Front and center. That's what we wanted. And I'm glad it is apparent that that's what we were trying to do. Yeah.
Sometimes that can be kind of off-putting.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you can listen, and I've got a couple in mind, but I'm not going to say who they are. But there are albums that I've listened to where it's like, we need to dial back those vocals a little bit.
Well, the thing that drives me crazy is when you're trying to listen to what somebody's saying and it's caught in the mix and you can't make out the words.
That's for sure.
For the life of you. So I think for me the lyrics are the thing of most importance in a song.
Uh-huh.
And so I think the easiest way to illustrate that is to put the vocals front and center so that, you know, what you're saying can be heard.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, especially in this situation too, where you are really kind of sculpting a story around the song. I mean, that's what you want to hear too.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You want to hear every single word. I think it works really well on your album here. I love it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. So great job, man. Your album also has some fantastic artwork on it. It's a painting of you.
It's a painting of me.
Kind of with a mullet.
Yeah.
Was that intentional?
I don't know. There was some artistic liberty taken with that one.
Yeah, a little bit.
But it's a really cool story.
Do tell.
I was looking for cover art.
Uh-huh.
And I was Googling various things and I came across this painting called Ishmael. And it turns out it was a self-portrait of an artist by the name of Bo Bartlett. And I sent him an email.
Ishmael, like a Moby Dick style?
Right. Yeah. I was looking at it I was Googling Ishmael because of Isaac and Ishmael with one of the songs with some biblical imagery in it.
Oh, okay.
Anyhow.
Yeah.
So I self-portrait of Bo Bartlett. I sent him an email. I said, "Hi, my name is Ben Fisher. I'm putting out a record called Charleston." I sent the record to him. I told him a little bit about myself, and I said it would. You know, I was wondering if I could use your painting for the cover of my record.
Uh-huh.
And within a day, he emailed me back and he said, "Hi, Ben, really liked your music. You're more than welcome to use this picture, this painting of me. But how about you send me some pictures of you and I'll try and paint you."
Yeah, yeah.
So I sent him a few pictures of me, and within a month, he sent me the painting that's on the cover. And needless to say, I used that.
Holy shit, man. That's awesome.
And
that's really cool.
Yeah.
And where was he based out of?
He's out of Georgia, too.
Oh, really?
He has a studio on Vashon, though.
Oh, cool.
Which is really neat. And he has stuff in the Sam downtown. And
wow.
He's a phenomenal painter.
And anybody who is, like, from the Northwest or has spent time, like, going to the coast or something like that, like, specifically, like, Ocean Shores. That's what
right.
I have in my mind right now.
Right.
Like, these style of paintings, these maritime style paintings,
yeah.
are everywhere.
Yeah,
and they have. I mean, it's a huge source of nostalgia for me because we would, you know, as a family, go to Ocean Shores every Easter.
Yeah,
rent a big house and then just spend the whole weekend, you know, trouncing around the sand dunes. You know, and so this is like. Like, when I saw this album art, I was, like, instantly just kind of brought back to my childhood.
Neat.
A little bit. Yeah, yeah. I love this style. And so is that – obviously, that's something that you wanted to – that you embraced on this album, too, because you kind of got, like, a maritime feel picture
sure.
on your Bandcamp page,
the,
too.
And if you open – on the inside of the CD is that same
it,
painting.
Yeah.
It's
really?
It's a painting from the late 1700s Noah, who produced the record, sent it to
uh-huh.
me, and I loved it. And it's a painting of Charleston, and so I used that for the
cool.
for the inside and the
yeah,
disc.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's a beautiful painting.
Awesome, man. Well, it fits too. It just seems to.
It does.
Everything really fits well together, and that's why I still like buying like physical albums.
Yeah,
you know,
you're not going to get the same experience online.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Totally. So I'm glad you brought this for me. Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a really cool picture inside. That's awesome. I love that. Rad.
Yeah.
Rad. Yeah, very cool. Let's do this. We gotta say a special word for our sponsor, Naked City Brewery, here in North Seattle. They're located there on Greenwood Avenue, between 85th and 87th. And we're also going to be doing our first ever live Air Raid podcast from Naked City Brewery on March 29th. And by the time you hear this, excuse me, I'm burping because we're drinking this amazing beer right now. By the time you hear this, tickets will be on sale. We've got comedian Derek Sheen will be joining us. And Mackenzie and Troy of the band The Young Evils will be joining us as well. And then super secret special friend guest who has been on this show numerous times. You know them, you love them. They will be joining us as well, but we're not going to announce that until March 1st, who that's going to be. Tickets will be available on brownpapertickets.com. You can look it up on Brown Paper Tickets. It's going to be Air Raid Live. Air Raid Live. Look that up. And get your ticket quick because there's only 70 of them, so they will sell out. But, yeah, the good people at Naked City Brewery are helping us put this on. Have you had this beer before, Ben?
I've not.
You're a beer guy, too, right?
I am.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's really good. I was telling you about we're not drinking the IPA right now. In fact, I can't remember which one we are drinking. But I was telling you about this IPA, Crossfire IPA. And you're an IPA guy, right?
That's my brew of choice.
What does
yes.
it for you with the IPA? Are you like a hops guy or what?
It's weird. It's I didn't like them for a long time,
uh-huh.
and then I tried. I was at a coffee shop drinking beer, as one does. but I had the Elysian, the Immortal IPA, and it was really
okay.
cold and
uh-huh.
really fantastic. And some switch flipped in my brain.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
now it's my favorite.
And now you can't get away.
It's
from
interesting because
it,
right? it's refreshing in the summer, and it's also good in the winter.
There
and
you
it's
know.
It's a beer for all
it's
seasons.
Hearty. It's hearty. It's hearty sometimes.
It is
in the winter.
They're tasty.
Yeah, yeah. They are. And the Crossfire IPA at Naked City Brewery is one of the. That's the one that I tasted. Because I didn't like IPAs forever.
Right.
And that's the one that I had, even just recently. It was like 2 months ago. I was like, holy, holy smokies. This is amazing.
Was
I'm
that
trying not
verbatim?
To swear.
Yeah.
I'm trying not to swear because I'm picking up that you're not a swearer.
Oh, no.
And I haven't heard you swear yet. And so now I can't.
I'll rattle off a string if you like.
Go for it right now. It's a great way to sell some beer.
Well, now I'm under pressure.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I do best.
I will incorporate some more cursing.
There, yes. Thank you, here. Jesus. So go to nakedcitybrewery.com or visit them.
Go there for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Hey, there
yeah.
it is. There
now
it
I
is.
Can send it to my grandparents.
We just, yeah. we just sold five beers.
Yes.
Right there with Ben Fisher saying the F word. Wow, really going for it, man. Really going for it. Good job.
You're welcome.
nakedcitybrewery.com. And remember, get your tickets to the live show. It's going to be fun. Let's see, Ben, what else, man? Where did I lose myself right there?
Boy, where were we? We're talking about art. That's what it
yeah,
was.
Yeah, we were talking about art.
About art.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Let's switch it up a little bit. Okay. What else are you into, man?
I'm into baseball.
Yeah?
I cannot wait for baseball season.
Are you serious?
I'm so serious.
Were you into football at all? Did you get into the Seahawks fever that was going on here?
Yes. I feel bad admitting that, because here's the thing. I once had a girlfriend who was from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And I never...
Shit.
Yeah, here it comes.
Uh-huh.
I never watched football until I started watching football with her and her family.
Right.
At which point, I became a very large Pittsburgh Steelers fan. And needless to say... So the girlfriend is no longer with me, but the Steelers still are.
Really? And so you're still a Steelers fan?
Many years down the line, still
oh
a Steelers
my God.
Fan. And it's rough because they had such a... I was in Israel when they were playing their game that was going to determine.
Yeah.
And everything was lining up perfectly for 3 weeks. This extraordinary series of events were transpiring and unfolding.
Yeah.
And they won 3 games in a row, and all the teams that were needed to lose were losing. And,
yeah,
and
yeah.
it came down to this last game. It was the Chiefs versus the Chiefs San Diego. And it went into overtime, and the Chiefs won, which is not what was supposed to happen for the Steelers to get into the playoffs. And so then I transferred my allegiances to the Seahawks, because you can do that.
Yeah, you can when you live here. I felt bad because we were watching the Super Bowl with a Broncos fan.
Oh, that's
and
rough.
She was like a big Broncos. She had like shirt on. She had Broncos pants on. She had this little Broncos Mr. Potato Head that she had brought with her. She also had a Broncos like teddy bear and a small Broncos football and then a Broncos scarf.
She cursed him too much.
Right? Yeah, something happened there, man. But like, oh, I just felt so bad. At one point, like in the second half of the Super Bowl, I felt so bad for celebrating because it was just so much.
It's like beating a dead horse.
I know. And I kept on looking back at her and I go, I'm really sorry. I just kept on apologizing.
That's what happened when, speaking of baseball, I went down with my dad and my brother, who were all Atlanta Braves fans.
Yeah, yeah.
And the closest the Braves came to Seattle last year was they played in San Francisco. They played the Giants. And so we went down for 2 games, and we saw 2 games, and the Braves lost both of them.
Yeah.
And it was amazing because we were decked out in Braves gear, hats and jerseys and all. And time and time again, these Giants fans were coming up to us and they were being completely, you know, sincere and honest, and they were saying, "We're so sorry. You guys are a great team. I'm sure we'll see you in the playoffs."
Yeah, yeah.
And it was the strangest thing because, you know, you expect these, you know, they sort of have a rivalry, not really.
Yeah.
But they're just the sweetest people, and Giants fans are good people.
Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, that's good. That's good, though.
Yeah.
But, man, I mean, being a baseball fan in this town, that's got to kind of hurt.
Right? Not for me. I have a good team. These Mariners are dismal. The Mariners are awful. So bad.
Yeah. They are bad.
I was at a party once, and I was talking to this guy.
Yeah.
And we were chatting. We got on the topic of baseball, and we were talking about the Mariners, and it was in the middle of the season, and they were in one of their, you know, 12-game losing streaks, slides they tend to get themselves into. And so I was talking about the Mariners and how terrible they were, and I was outlining all these things that the organization has done wrong and how awful and awful and awful they are. And at the end of the conversation, he informed me that he works for the front office of the Mariners.
Oh, shit.
And walked away.
He's got to know, though. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
They are bad, and they have not been good for a very long time.
And everyone's saying that, you know, the Seahawks win is going to kind of light a fire under the Mariners' asses, but...
I don't know, man.
I don't think so.
Yeah. I've never been a big baseball fan, and that's why I said... I still thought, when you were talking about the Giants, I still thought we were talking about football. And then it clicked. It clicked.
Well, they make it confusing. Yeah. It's intentionally confusing. You got two Giants in football and baseball and Cardinals in football and baseball.
There you go. There you go,
makes
man.
No sense.
Yeah, it makes no sense. But, yeah, I mean, maybe if they were a good team, I'd be into it. But I still kind of I don't know. Baseball has always been a little bit boring for me.
I hear that a lot.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I have a thick skin when it comes to people criticizing baseball now because I've heard it so often. I will say, I think we can both agree on that the view from Safeco is one of the prettiest in any baseball stadium in the country.
Yeah, I do love, I'll go to a baseball game.
Oh yeah.
I love that.
Sure.
I love that stadium.
Yeah.
Have you been to the Seahawks stadium?
Never been inside. No.
No?
No.
That's a pretty killer stadium.
The Steelers come back, I'll go see them.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. You'll be the one guy in there.
Yeah.
With the terrible towel.
Yep.
Oh, man. What a great season. Let's do this, Ben. First of all, it's been great talking to you.
Yeah,
thank you
too.
So much for coming by.
Thanks for having me on.
Really, really can't say enough good things about this album. Go get it. Ben Fisher, Charleston. And let's see. Where were we at? BenFisher.bandcamp.com. And you're working on like an actual website here pretty soon, right?
Yeah, it's the next step. Yeah. I need to get that and some photos taken of my pretty face.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are the two things.
I've been putting that off. I am really, really bad at having photos taken. Like, I am not a pretty guy. And when I smile, it gets worse sometimes.
You'll have to do a sitting for like a very serious portrait to be painted.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I'm going to have your guy paint me.
There you go.
Yeah. And maybe he'll, make me.
I'm curious as to what he's done with the painting. Does he have it in his house or in his studio, or has he sold it to some strange person who wants
it's
me
probably
in their
like
home?
10 feet. It's like 10 feet tall.
Yeah.
By 10,
it's huge. 10 I
foot
bet.
By five. And it's just sitting in a big palace somewhere.
I like the sound of that. I like that.
Yeah. So what's coming up for you, man? What shows are coming up? You guys
Let's see.
Going on tour?
I would like to.
Yeah.
In the Seattle area, I'm doing The Tractor on the 20th with Vikesh Kapoor. And
Yeah,
he's great.
I've heard a lot about him.
His record is really good. Playing with him, and then I would like to tour. And I think, it's interesting. When most bands, when they do their first tour, they do a West Coast thing.
Yeah.
But I think for me, I might do a Southeastern thing because I've got some, the Atlanta connection and some other connections down there. But
yeah.
I would really like to do some touring.
Excellent.
Get on the road.
Yeah. Have you ever done a tour before?
Little mini one through the Midwest last year or year and a half ago. And I just love, I did a little road trip through the Southeast in September. I hit Atlanta and I was in Tennessee and Alabama and Florida and South Carolina and had a great time.
Nice.
And then you add music to that and it gets infinitely better.
Totally.
So,
are you going to try to do it with like full band or just
logistics
solo?
Kind of prevent that.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Yeah.
That's too bad.
It is. There were six of us at my record release show on Friday and it was really fun.
Yeah.
Fun playing with the band. But when you have such talented people in your band, they have other things going on.
Exactly.
And you cannot drag them on the road with you. So.
And in a place like Seattle, too, if you're playing with like a really talented drummer, he's already in eight other bands.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what drives me nuts about this town.
Yeah.
There is a large need for drummers here.
We got some good ones.
We do have some great.
That.
Yeah, we have some great drummers. Yeah. But like I said, they're all in like various bands.
Right.
So
it's Faustin who played on the record has played, with almost every band in town. It's amazing.
Exactly. Yeah,
it's amazing. That
she's with the Maldives.
Maldives. Yeah, they're in the studio right now.
Okay.
And I'm
okay.
excited for their new record.
Yeah. That's great, man.
Yeah,
well, Ben, thank you again, man.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure meeting you finally, and hearing you play. What are you gonna play? What are you gonna play us out with today?
Well, let me look at the back of that record there. That's a darn good question. A damn good question.
And while you're looking at that, we want to remind you guys, go to our website, air-raid.net. Click on the archives page and you can listen to all of our past episodes, 183 episodes with people like Macklemore, John Roderick, David Bazan, comedians like Eddie Pepitone, Bob Saget, Scott Aukerman, Mike Birbiglia, all sorts of stuff there for your listening pleasure. And it's all free, right? Yeah, that's pretty great. Thanks for listening this week. And what are we going to hear?
We'll do Dublin Blues Part 2.
Oh, I love this song. I love this song. Let me turn up your guitar so it actually
comes
through.
Let me make sure this guitar is tuned.
Oh, man. That makes for great fake radio, by the way. Tuning it up. Tuning it up. Oh, by the way, hey, everybody. Make sure you go and visit us on iTunes as well. We could really use your star ratings. There, because it helps continue to get guests like Ben on the show. They take a look at that. They're like, whoa, this show's got so many star ratings. They're like, it's actually a real thing. I can come to this stranger's house, sit in his backyard studio, and he won't murder me.
It's like
right?
a supernova, so many stars.
That's
or is
right.
a supernova one star?
I think I a supernova know. Is like...
It's a galaxy.
Supernova is like an exploding star.
That's right. I took an astronomy class at the UW because I was forced to take some
right.
science, and it did not go.
You were trying to find your major.
Well.
You were trying to find your major, right? Yeah.
It was a really bad time.
You got a better grade in Arabic than you did in astronomy, so you just picked that.
Infinitely better grade in Arabic.
All right, Ben Fisher, folks. Have a great week.
I've been listening to a lot of Guy Clark. He's a little country, a little twang. He's got a song called the Dublin Blues that sometimes I will play after I get home from dinner and drinks and things are moving slow. And I'm making a list of things I would tell you if you hadn't let me go. I've been reading Philip Roth, he's got one hell of a pen. You didn't like him the first time around, but you ought to try him again. Yeah, but all book pages are black and white, and I'm feeling pretty great. And I'm making a list of things I would tell you if only you had stayed. Oh, I'm walking slow by the mailbox, hoping for a word. Oh, something like, darling, I'm sorry, this ain't what you deserve. Oh, 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 oh. Now I've been planting a few little flowers and I'm baking my own bread. And I go running every morning to try and clear my head. Yeah, but the flowers died and my bread won't rise, and the running's just for show. And I'm making a list of things I would tell you if you hadn't let me go. Yeah, I'm making a list of the things I would tell you if you hadn't let me go.
Thank you.